thought as Sister Sherry was testifying about the experience today, took my mind back, oh, let's see, 43 years, when my mom passed away, and one of my most precious things, well, I don't have a lot of things, but what I have of hers that means so much is one of her Bibles marked up. I mean, she marked up. She wrote comments, and in the back of it, things that were meaningful to her. And you know, it's not those, as a lot of the people in the world think, those family mementos that are valuable to financially, but it's where you realize that your loved ones were in touch with the Lord. That's what matters. And you know, I didn't know Dale all his life, but I knew enough about him to be very thankful that God changed him from the man he was into a new creature. And I realized that, hadn't seen him in a while, but when I was reacquainted, I thought, wow, this man is, he's sweeter. He's sweet in his soul. And, you know, when you see that, you just give glory to God. So I'm thankful. And by the way, in way of announcement, Dale's memorial service will be tomorrow evening in Queen City at the Crossway Church at 6 o'clock. I guess everyone's invited, so I'm sure we'll worship the Lord together and rejoice in what God's done. Also, this Friday will be our next game night, so keep those things in mind. I keep telling you service after service that I feel fine, but my voice doesn't seem to want to be along on the ride. Body feels good, other than difficulty sleeping, but just don't know. I desire your prayers. I'm not complaining, just want to be able to speak God's word clearly. I told somebody that it does pretty well when I keep my mouth shut and don't move, but that's not my life. maybe the Lord's trying to remind me I need to be still more, but I'm thankful you're here. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will make the word that he has for us clear tonight. I'm going to ask if you have your Bibles to turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15. You bear with me, please. I'm going to read these first four verses. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. And I want you to catch those words especially. First part of verse 2, tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, in the right way. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, the wonderful sunshine that, Lord, we look upon your creation and just to see the beautiful sky, the clouds, and all that you have done, your handiwork, it reminds us, Lord, what a wonderful, what a powerful God you are. And yet so mindful, able to hang the stars in space, and yet mindful of every little hair on our head, every detail, every problem in our life. You're aware and you care because you love us. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I ask that your blessing, your anointing would be upon it. Lord, take this voice that's not very strong or clear tonight, but speak through these lips of clay, words that will be a help, will help draw us closer to you. Teach us, Lord, from your word. For all you do, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to draw your attention back to that first part of verse 2. It said, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. From those words, I want to consider the subject with you the proper use of knowledge. You know, knowledge can be used for good or evil. We can learn, we have ability to learn so many things, but God wants us to use knowledge aright, in the right way, for His glory, for the good of His kingdom, for souls. When God created mankind, I believe it a part of His plan in creation that we would be inquisitive creatures. I believe that God wanted us to be people who would be learning. Of course, He possesses all knowledge, but He placed within us a desire to gain knowledge, to learn, to acquire knowledge about our world, about our universe, about our bodies, about ourselves, about, you know, philosophical things like, why are we here? God may have to get somebody to come up and look at my notes, although that would be hopeless because my wife said nobody can read my notes but me. They're hybrid. That's all right. The Lord will help us. He's given us this word. But we all know that man has come a great way in acquiring knowledge from the beginning when God put man and Adam and Eve in the garden. And we live in a time right now where the ability to obtain knowledge is all around us. I mean, at our fingertips. We can learn every hour of every day if we wanted to. But the question is, as we gain knowledge, what are we doing with it? Are we using it properly? Are we using it, and when I say properly, I'm not talking as the world measures, but are we using it for the glory of God? Are we using the knowledge that we gain for the advancement of His kingdom and His purposes, to help souls, to lead people to Christ, to edify and encourage our fellow man? Are we using the knowledge that God has made available to us in the right way? Or will we do as many have done throughout human history? And this is all because of sin. You know, Adam, and we know that Solomon, we're reading his writings tonight, was the wisest man, but I believe, apart from Jesus, I believe that Adam was the most brilliant man ever created. He was created perfect. Amen. I don't know how anybody could debate that. But because of sin, man fell, and even though he still was on his quest for knowledge, sin caused man to use knowledge in the wrong way. Amen. Not to benefit, not to help, but to hurt, to destroy, to rule over others and damage people and God's creation. We have a lot to thank God for. You know, we're here in a nice place tonight because of God's allowed man to acquire knowledge. We have lights. Don't really need air conditioning tonight, but we're real thankful for it in the summertime and when it's cold for the heat. Everything about the physical surroundings we enjoy tonight and we're comfortable, the things we wear, I mean, every part of it, you know, is because God has allowed man to acquire knowledge. It was in God's purpose that we make those advancements. Many people in history, as I said, they've acquired a great deal of knowledge, but they've used it in damaging ways. I thought, and I don't have a particular bone to pick with them, but they don't have a real good reputation. But you know, every day, lawyers, the wrong kind, I mean, there are many wicked ones, not all. I've met a couple good ones, Christian attorneys. Three, matter of fact, I have to add to the list. But many of them use their knowledge of our legal system to get criminals off every day. That's using knowledge in the wrong way. You know, many people high up use their knowledge of our tax system to get through those loopholes so they don't have to pay their share, and that's using knowledge in the wrong way. Amen. But I want you to understand, and I'm using, of course, this word knowledge. There's a big difference between intellectual knowledge and wisdom. A sinner man can gain knowledge. The human intellect is able to gather vast amounts of knowledge and use it in a wrong way to steal, kill, and destroy. But when we have godly wisdom, we use knowledge properly. We use it for good. And matter of fact, I think it's a definition worth keeping in your mind, if not writing down, but true wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. It's a difference between just being smart and using that intellect in the right way. Amen? You know, we all know from not just school hearing about it and learning, but from the news and things that when in our lifetimes, well, some lifetimes it's advanced, but when man gained the knowledge to split the atom, it had tremendous consequences for good and evil. Amen? On one hand, men that have wisdom have used that knowledge to power whole cities and regions, and of course we have nuclear submarines that defend the cause of freedom and on and on. But on the other side, that knowledge has been used for vast destruction. And you know, that knowledge holds our planet in fear, because it's in the hands of evil men. That knowledge reminds us that we are always on the edge of nuclear annihilation. I mean, that's how dangerous knowledge can be. But of course, I'm not here to talk about just the things of the world. We're here to talk about the things of God, the things of God's word. And I'll use the term for a moment, religion, because when it comes to the area of religion, this same principle is true. There's never been a time in history when so much religious knowledge is available. I thought about this today, that the average person who has a basic ability to read has access to more religious knowledge than entire seminaries did 40 years ago. You know that? They were limited, but now we're almost unlimited in ability to gather information. And we, like many churches, I hope that many churches are, but we're certainly trying to. We come week after week, service after service, to learn more about God, to learn about God's ways, to learn of His word and His will. And we're learning, amen? We're doing, as Peter said, trying to grow in grace and knowledge, amen? But again, the problem is, even when it comes to the area of religion, not everybody uses knowledge properly. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish I could say that every person who came to religion, that they learned of the Lord and His way and His word, and they could use that knowledge in a beneficial way. But it's sad that it's not how it happens. So many people, instead of using the knowledge they have gained in religion to glorify God and to advance His kingdom and to help souls come to know Jesus and to encourage others, to edify our fellow man. You know, though, by the way, what I've just said is why we are living. That is why God saved us and left us here, to glorify Him, to advance His kingdom, to help souls come to Christ, to encourage and to edify our fellow man. That's why we're here. That's why God allows us to learn. He gives us a brain. He gives us the ability to understand, to comprehend. But so many have not used it for those purposes. Many in religion use knowledge to hurt souls, to damage, to hinder the work of God. Of course, one of the very common ways, and I don't know, maybe you have not been exposed to it, I hope not. One of the very common ways in religion that people, they gather knowledge, they inform their intellect about religion, and something that has become so prevalent in this generation because of the access to knowledge, religious people begin to get the ideal that they know enough, they don't need a pastor, they don't need a spiritual leader, they don't need a church family, they don't need people watching for their souls, they know enough, they're lifted up, amen. They can do it their own way. And you know what happens when they get like that? Their knowledge damages them. Because when we don't do things God's way, amen? When we don't do it God's way, it's always damaging to us. But not only is it damaging to us, it damages those around us that we ought to be helping. Now, I'm using, as I said, that phrase, religious knowledge, because there's a vast difference between religious knowledge and spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom draws us closer to God. Amen? Always. Knowledge may puff you up, but spiritual wisdom, that's knowledge used in the right way, will draw us closer to God. It will put in us a desire, and we will strive to be more like Jesus, and it will fill our hearts with God's love so that we want to glorify Him and we want to help others. That's what spiritual wisdom will do. But religious knowledge fails to do that. You know what religious knowledge does? You can have your head full of religious knowledge, and rather than wanting to help people come to Jesus, you just want them to line up with your way of thinking. Amen. That's what religious knowledge does, not spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom said, if I can just get them to Jesus, if I can just connect them to God and be a help and encouragement to them. But religious knowledge, in our pulpits are filled with individuals like this, that you got to line up with my way of thinking. That's not using knowledge aright. Amen? That is a perversion of knowledge. And so instead of loving people and leading them to relationship with Christ, we use religious knowledge to try to straighten people up to our way of thinking. Amen. I'm not going to dwell there, but I'll tell you that misuse of religious knowledge is the source of almost all division in church history. The misuse of religious knowledge. That's what's caused the cults to rise up. People, and they're, you know, don't misunderstand, because those cult leaders are brilliant men and women intellectually. You know, very charismatic personalities. But they misuse knowledge, and they damage and destroy souls. This is why I've quoted it already, but Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:18, it's so important to grow in grace and knowledge. Amen? Because if we try to grow in knowledge without a corresponding growth in grace, we become unbalanced. And it will cause us to use knowledge, religious knowledge, in the wrong way. And our life can become damaging to others. It will be. Our lips will become damaging to others. Amen? Now, maybe it came to somebody's mind, because if you're familiar with the book of Proverbs, you know there's no book in the Bible that comes even close to talking about the mouth, the lips, the tongue, the words, amen. Human communication, book of Proverbs is filled with that, and these two chapters here, 15 and 16, are filled with that. I'm going to close by touching on some more. But you know, verse 1 of our text, which many of you know by memory, you know, when you encounter people that are angry or, you know, volatile situations, the Holy Spirit brings what to your mind? A soft answer turneth away wrath. Amen. Do you know that's the proper use of knowledge? Amen. It's using the knowledge God has given us of His Word, of human nature. It's using that to cause us to react in the proper way, in a godly way. Amen. To answer softly, with gentleness. Now, some people misunderstand that. They, you know, I'll just say this because I'm here. This is not one of the easiest areas for us to deal with. You know, our humanity is not big on, this flesh is not big on laying down and, you know, letting somebody get in our face or whatever, but God help us to remember we're not like the world. Amen. You see, to answer softly with gentleness does not mean that we are incapable of a response to whatever they're saying. It doesn't mean that we're mentally weak. It doesn't mean that we lack the capacity to put that person in their place or anything else. Answering with a soft tone does not mean any of those things. Usually it means that the person who can answer with a soft answer has a wisdom that far surpasses that one that's attacking them. Amen? Amen. A wisdom. You see, true wisdom uses the knowledge that God has given us to diffuse the situation.
Amen.
Amen. Rather than doing the opposite, which Solomon also writes of. Because, and maybe nobody else, but I say that in jest, probably every one of us, know that when you answer an angry person with that same spirit, you're putting fuel on the fire. Amen? But to answer with a soft tone, to answer in humility means that you have acquired spiritual wisdom, not just knowledge, but the spiritual wisdom to apply knowledge of God's word, knowledge of human nature, knowledge of what needs to be done in these situations. You know, true wisdom uses knowledge in this way because it understands winning the soul is more important than winning the argument. Winning the person is more important than winning, coming out ahead in that moment. Amen. But what does the rest of the verse say? The other side. It's what knowledge. We gain this knowledge from God's word, and so it's up to us. Are we going to have that wisdom to apply it properly? Grievous words stir up anger. You know, we give tit for tat. We come back in the same way. We only stir up anger. And that, I never put these two together like that, but the first part of verse 1 goes with the first part of verse 2. And the second part of verse 1, grievous words stir up anger, go right with the words in verse 2, because that is the mouth of fools pouring out foolishness. Think how many times we've been guilty of that. Amen. I'm not going to let anybody talk to me like that. And the mouth of fools. Amen. Just me, I know. Nobody else. Give them a piece of our mind. Prove how smart we are. But what we've really done is just prove that we could use knowledge in a wrong way to hurt. And then certainly we'll never forget, verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are watching over it all. Amen. Not only beholding the good, but the evil. Seeing, hearing, listening, and I'll add to that reading, because there's no difference to God. He knows everything we're texting, everything we're emailing, everything we're putting on social media, just as he hears the words of our mouth. Amen? And when the Bible says we're going to give account for all those words, let it be known that it is all those words, because they come from the heart. This evening, I want to wind this up in a little different way, but I want to just let God's word speak a little more. I would encourage you, and I've done this a couple times today, read chapter 15 and 16 together, but I'm just going to hit some highlights. Because even though this principle has to do with all of life, our actions, our deeds, but when you read these chapters and you read through Proverbs, you know that it's often upon the mind of the writer how much good or bad can be done by our words. Amen. So listen as we just close by reading a few scriptures tonight. The same chapter in verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Verse 23. A man hath joy. Who's that? A wise man. A wise man has joy by the answer of his mouth. And a word spoken in due season, that means at the right, the proper time. How good it is. Verse 26. Thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure. We're going to be those pure-hearted people before God, living holy, walking godly in righteousness before him. There's a certain kind of words are going to come out of us. The words of the pure are pleasant words. Sorry. Verse 28. The heart of the righteous, that's the wise man again, studies to answer. You ever tell your kids, before you engage the tongue, engage the brain? The heart of the righteous, the wise man, thinks before he speaks. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Jumping over to chapter 16, just catching a few verses here, and I'm going to close. Verse 21 through 24. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. And that's very much like what I described wisdom as. It's doing the right things in the right times. And the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Wow. Now, I decided to close with these because I knew if I made all of them my text, we'd be here for a while, and I didn't have the voice, so I'm just going to go through without commenting. Verse 22, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. Verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. And the last one, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. I was tempted to get all of them in all 31 chapters of Proverbs, but we'd been here a while. He spoke a lot about it, but you get the gist. I want every one of you to grow in knowledge of the Lord and knowledge of His Word and knowledge of God's purpose for us and on, but may we also grow in grace so that we have the wisdom to use knowledge. See, God allows us to have it for a reason. It's not so we can think we're somebody and above others, but so we can help somebody, so we can bring glory to God. I'm going to ask you to stand, and our musicians come. We'll sing a verse or two of a closing hymn. Our altar is always open if you need to pray. We invite you.